Alright, time for the DraftPhysics.com video presentation. Oh, there I am. Already did this video, but part of it at the beginning. Yeah, it was kind of clever and, you know. But too bad. Yeah, it didn't fail. Computer crashed. Anyway, so we'll start over again. So I'm just going to do some Wikipedia stuff. About this idea of what popular science says. And I was thinking about the word popular science because, you know, there used to be a magazine called Popular Science when I was a kid. First it was Popular Mechanics. And that was kind of boring, frankly, compared to popular science, in my opinion. And so popular science came later. And, the idea of it being called popular didn't mean anything. I mean, it didn't turn you off necessarily. But now, you know, frankly, that word is, oof. I mean, I think people have gotten the smell of what that popular thing can mean, which is stay the fuck away. It's got to be bad. You know, the whole Facebook, Google, you know, the ugliest parts of the internet are driven by this pop culture crap. You know, it's really bad evolution. Popular opinion is a negative opinion. It's not necessary. It's probably not the right opinion to have. The popular can't figure anything out. Okay, they do it all wrong. And it really has to do with this left-right thing, you know, giant douches versus shit sandwich. It's like in science, you have these flat earthers and religious kooks and other people who want to pretend science has spirituality in it and all this other mumbo-jumbo. The quantum, you know, our brains are controlling things. I mean, all kinds of just horseshit. And but the real scientists, okay, so that's the shit sandwich. The real scientists are the, you know, Simon Dan, you know, douchebags who just sit there and pretend they're smarter than the morons, and they don't do anything else because their own bag of crap is just as crappy. So it's the left and the right, you know, the silly people who think everybody can have everything and we love. Which is totally impractical. Everybody can't have everything, and they really mean everything, you know, for free. Nothing should cost anything. Nobody should have to go to work. Nothing. And the greedy scoundrels who want 15 people to control the whole world, and they want to be one of the 15 people who owns everything. You know, and it's like, that's the popular side. So those are the two main popular ideals. And they both suck. Okay, so yeah, somewhere in between that, there's Wikipedia. Okay, so Wikipedia can be either one of those popular motivations can be controlling it. One minute it can be all free will and love, and the next minute it could be really cruel and just get this the facts, ma'am. But you never know what you're going to get. It depends on the subject, of course. So, yeah, this is what we want. All right, so the Wikipedia page on force. Now, first I went to the Wikipedia page on levers. And they were, you know, and nowhere on the Wikipedia page on levers, the word energy is only used once, and it's just used to say the fulcrum doesn't consume any energy. So it's only used once. The word momentum isn't used at all, and the word conservation, not at all. So, you know, on a page about something as significant to mechanical movement as you can get, just about. No mention of momentum and no mention of energy conservation. Kind of amazing. So anyway, so that got me to go to this force page because they were basically saying the lever changes the amount of force. And it's like, no, it does. It doesn't do anything like that. No, it doesn't change any force. It doesn't. Force is exactly the whole point of it. Is it's the same force. What the hell was that? what did I go? Oh, that's a mass. Oh, the famous 1 kilogram. Oh, anyway. okay. So I went to the force page, and it's fucking hilarious. So they really don't get this idea that we don't need 17 words for the same thing. Like, we don't need 17 ways to measure temperature. We don't need 17 ways to say the word energy. Pressure. Movement. momentum. We don't need all of these stupid words, because it's all the same thing. It just represents amount of mass moving a velocity, which equals a weight. So torque is weight, everything thrust is weight, drag is a weight, everything is a weight, and that's all there is. There's just weight being applied to something. And we know that if you apply a weight to something, it will either yield to the weight, or it will be crushed by the weight, or something will happen because the weight is being applied. And what's keeping you on the earth is a weight being applied to you. Real gravity is really pushing you into the earth. You're not being pulled. I think they use the word pull in the lever argument, but let's do this one first. Okay, it's just you could just pick on every one of these sentences and just say, oh, come on. Somebody with some sort of scientific integrity wrote this mush. All right, anyway. Okay, let me just make sure the recording's still recording. Things haven't blown up. Still can't get the computer to work quite right. Okay, in physics, a force is the influence that can change the motion of an object. So yes, so they're getting the idea that this has something to do with motion. And yes, the motion is made out of the component that is the mass and the component of velocity. And that's what the motion is made out of, just mass and velocity. That's all there is. There isn't anything else. There's no one halves and one squares and all this crap. Anyway, force can cause the object with mass to change its velocity. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That something that's moving bangs into something that's not moving, and then something that's not moving will start to move, and the thing that was moving won't move as fast. So the energy, the force, will be transferred from one object to another object. I.e. moving from a state of rest. Okay, yeah, we need that I.E. I.E. again, to accelerate. Right, well, the acceleration is just a component of the change. So, obviously, acceleration is used in never in the net form. It's always kind of used as a rate of acceleration. And very rarely does somebody say, what is the net acceleration? But these are two different things, right? The net change, the complete change, versus the incremental change. All right, and this is especially important in something like gravity, because we're accelerated while we're free-falling. But that's it. When you're not free-falling, that is when something's hitting you, putting pressure on you in the opposite direction, you're not gaining. You're not accelerating. That's decelerating, or non-acceleration. Force can also be described intuitively. Now, that's just a mistake, right? As a push or a pull. So, rationally, this is where popular gets into it. You can say, well, you know, only popular people could think the word, like, random means anything. Because, you know, somebody smart is going to understand that, how does something get to be random? There's nothing in the universe that randoms anything. What the fuck would a random be? So it's not a real word, okay? And the idea of pulling isn't a real concept. Somebody who knows a little bit about physics, they know, yeah. Show me a pull and I'll explain where the push is. It's not a pull. There's no pulls, okay? Pull is baby talk. It's a bad idea. So this intuition only exists for, I have to say it, like stupid children. Because frankly, okay, I kind of understood the difference that the push thing was really obvious and the pull thing wasn't so easy to figure out even when I was a kid. I had a problem thinking of those two concepts as equal concepts. All right, anyway. Force has both magnitude and direction. So, obviously, anything moving, okay, has magnitude and direction, okay? The magnitude would be the weight, okay, that it's going to hit in a direction, okay? It's going to, if it's going to connect to something else, if it's going to transfer what it is to something else, if it's going to affect something else, it has to have contact with it. And yes, the contact will be a pressure in a direction. I mean, that's almost like you shouldn't even have to say that, right? Making it a vector quantity. So this is where they just play with silly words, right? Because there's no such thing as any other quantity it could be. You can't do anything else but be in a vector form. You can only apply pressure in a direction, period. You can't apply it in both directions unless you're a piece of dynamite or something, and then you'd understand that, well, the different pieces of the dynamite are doing different things. And they're certainly doing the vector thing. Anyway, it is a measure, it is measured in SI units of newtons. So right there, they're telling you a force is momentum. I mean, they're telling you. I mean, clearly, they're not using the word joule here. So they're clearly saying force is related to just mass and velocity. It doesn't have anything to do with any of this other abstract crapola that you might invent. It's made out of this basic thing, which is a unit of weight. A newton is a unit of weight. Okay. Force is represented by the symbol F, formerly P, which is interesting, right? Because P is the symbol for momentum. So all they're really saying is we decided to come up with a new word for the same thing, all right, because we wanted to molest it, you know. That's about it. Anyway, the original form of Newton's second law, so there's only one form. There's the Newton's form. Right? And everything else is a lie. So this is where they try to say Newton said something he didn't say. But I mean, clearly, there's no such thing as the original form. I mean, that's just nonsense. You don't say that. It's Newton's second law. You either respect what it actually says, or, because you're giant douches, you decide to put words in Newton's mouth that he didn't say. But those are the two choices. Newton's second law states that the net force, so it's net force, which would mean net acceleration, if you were to be fair, right? But anyway, acting upon an object is equal to the rate at which the momentum changes with time. So this is the big lie, right? Because Newton's statement isn't that. Newton's statement is the force, okay, right, equals, you don't need to worry about the rate, if you're saying the net force. So when he says F, he's giving you the option. You can have the F, the force, in seconds, like how much force per second, or you could have net force. But he doesn't say the net force. All right. Acting on an object is equal to the rate at which the momentum changes with time. So obviously that's not relevant to the net force. That is the force per second. That's the force per a unit of time. So this is a perversion right there. Newton was basically saying the total force can equal the total change in your momentum. Or, if you, as in the case of gravity, it's a rate of change. So we're saying the force, which would be 9 meters per second, 9.8 meters per second, it would be in per second units. He didn't say net force. He wasn't even implying net force. He was clearly stating this is the force in units of how much force you're affected by per second, per a unit of time. If you don't want the unit of time, if you want the net force, you just look for the net change in the momentum. The final change in the momentum equals the force. Newton was clearly saying F equals force. Equals momentum. The force is the momentum. If you can either add or subtract momentum. All right. So just making that clear that this is where the lies come in. This is where the popular, you know, destroys vocabulary and meaning. All right. If the mass of the object is constant, okay, so in most cases we're talking about that is true. This law implies, so here they're using the word implies something, it doesn't really, that the acceleration, so now they're using the word acceleration. Did they put the word net acceleration? No. They just used the word acceleration, which implies a rate of acceleration. It doesn't imply a total amount of acceleration. Oh, it's just such a cheat. of an object is directly proportional to the net force. So now they said net force, they didn't say net acceleration. So the truth is that the net acceleration is proportional to the net force. And if you were to say the acceleration per second is proportional to the force per second, that would also be correct. But look at the cheating. Okay, acting on an object in the direction of the net force. So again, they keep talking about the net force, and yet they're talking about the per second acceleration. It's just such a cheat. It's inversely proportional to the mass of the object. So obviously it is mass and velocity will decide what your capacity to do work is. So if you want to know how much work something can do, you just say, how much does it weigh and how fast is it going? And that's it. That's all you need. All right. Concepts related to force include thrust. So thrust is obviously just throwing a bunch of things that have mass and throwing them with a velocity, ejecting them, meaning that whatever equilibrium you had, you are giving away your equilibrium, right? If you're at an equilibrium, that is, you have the same amount of stuff going this way as you have going this way, and you eject a bunch of stuff going that way, obviously you're going this way, okay? You changed your balance. You gave away force in a specific direction, meaning you have no choice but to go where your popular opinion says you must go, okay? Because you've lost your balance. Okay, which increases the velocity of the object. Drag, okay, so drag is just you giving it away. So drag and friction are the same things. It's just you are, in some way or other, contacting something, and through that contact, you're giving away your state, your, whatever your state is. Okay, whatever your vectors of motion are, you're giving them away because you are having contact with something else that has a different attitude, and the two will be blended based on how much time you spend banging into each other. All right. Which decreases the velocity of an object. Okay, so instead of saying which decelerates, creates negative acceleration, and torque. So torque is just a way of saying pressure again. It's another way of saying weight. Torque is just weight. All right, which produces changes in rotational speed of an object, which is bizarre that they put this at the end of this statement, because obviously it can change rotational speed, it can change linear speed. So I don't even know why they would include that. All right. In an extended body, each part usually applies forces to the adjacent parts. The distribution of such forces through the body is the internal mechanical stress. So, obviously when you hit something, the first thing you hit, it's like bowling pins, and then you're hitting something, and the something you hit is going to hit something else, and then that's going to hit something else, and the idea is trying to keep your for energy to be seen, okay, you can't get particularized. If you turn into micro dust, you don't see it. So heat and stuff like that, you don't see. But all it really is molecules hitting molecules, hitting molecules, hitting molecules. So the stuff that is clumpier, where we see something, it's like the moon. If you shot a missile into it and exploded it, there would be big pieces fly off, little pieces fly off, and then a ton of little tiny dust is made that you don't even see. Anyway, such internal mechanical stress causes no acceleration of the body as the forces balance one another. So that's just mush. So the fact is that the motion is only in an instant of time. The motion doesn't stop. It doesn't go away. It never ends. So all you're really saying is I have motion in one object, I'm going to put it in another object. If I want to find out what the net change in this object is, I have to essentially understand that I have to freeze it at a moment in time and say which pieces are moving. Because if I don't do that moment of time thing, what I'm really going to see is the energy is just going to keep going through the object and eventually go out into the environment and eventually get lost. Or if it stays in the object, that is, I throw a wrench in space or something and the motion stays in the object. Obviously, in the case of the wrench, if I don't rotate it, Okay, you won't really see what's moving. But there is stuff inside the wrench moving in the direction the wrench is going. That's at any one moment in time, I could see that there's more atoms moving this way than there are moving that way. But I can only measure the change in something. I can't do it over a period of time because it's the same energy keeps moving. Okay, I mean the A pin hits the B pin, it's the C pin, hits the D pin. I can't add up all of those and say that's how much energy it has. I just have to count the one motion because they're all transferring their motion. The A pin hits the B pin, the A pin stops, the B pin moves. I can't add those two pieces of movement and say they're both active because they're not both active. All right, well, that gets a little more, you know, I don't know if this part is worth reading even because it's just making up concepts. In an extended body, each part usually applies force on the adjacent parts. Okay, mechanical stress. Such internal mechanical stresses cause no acceleration of the body as the forces balance one another. So this is just nonsense. You don't balance the force. It obviously doesn't balance. That's why you can throw a wrench in spaces, but there's no balance. It just keeps pushing the wrench. So that's nonsense. And obviously in the case of somebody getting shot with a bullet, you can understand that, yeah, what's happening is the force is moving into smaller and smaller pieces through the flesh, and eventually all the pieces will stop moving from our perspective, from what we can see. But what we'll know is that now it's been turned into molecular heat, and that all the energy is essentially just turned into heat. And we can't see it anymore. Except for the pieces, of course, that flew across the wall and heated the wall. You know. Anyway. All right. So internal mechanical stresses cause no acceleration of the body as the forces balance one another. That's just nonsense. Pressure. Okay. So this is the key word, right? Pressure. It's about weight. The distribution of many small forces applied over the area of a body is a simple type of stress that, if unbalanced, can cause a body to accelerate. So isn't that a silly way of saying that, yes, you can have little things moving in all the same direction, or you can have little things moving in all directions. And if they're moving in all directions, they're still hot, they're still moving, still means something, but it's not going to move anywhere. But there's plenty of action, there's plenty of capacity to do action in the universe. It's just until it becomes unbalanced, okay, until you let air out of one side of the balloon or something, the pressure is invisible. The force is invisible. There's a ton of force inside a balloon, okay, but it's not doing anything until you imbalance it. Then you can see how much force was in the balloon. You can see a portion of its force. Stress usually causes deformation of solid materials. So that's, you know, deformation. It can cause them to shatter. It's not exactly the same thing. So this specific word was, you know, out of place. Okay, of solid materials are flow in liquids. Yeah, and the flow is what? The flow is a visual, okay, portion of the molecular movement. And it's only the portion that's in the same direction. In one direction. Okay. I don't know if it's worth doing all of this, but what the hell, we'll do it anyway. Philosophers of antiquity used concept of force to study in the study of stationary and moving objects and simple machines. Right. And they made up, you know, this is really, I don't know why they go back thousands of years, because, you know, frankly, you know, they really just didn't have too many of these things figured out too well. But thinkers such as Aristotle and Archimedes retained formal errors in understanding force. Yes, so why bother? Okay, I mean, it's thousands of years ago. You're not going to be critical. They didn't even have a magnifying glass yet. In part, this was due to an incomplete understanding of the sometimes non-obvious force of friction. So again, there's no force of friction. It's just so stupid. Friction is just you giving your energy away. It's just you being dragged by something. Something hits you. You share your force with it. It shares its force with you. Okay? There is no friction force. It completely depends on what you're in contact with and how much contact you have with it. But there is no friction force. Is so bad. I mean, they're criticizing them for having a stupid notion when they have the stupid notion. Friction is not a force. It's just the simple consequence of two things having contact with each other. Period. And when they have contact, there has to be a tug of war, a tug of force. Their forces will mix. And they can mix a lot, or they can mix a little tiny bit. And that depends on the type of contact they have. And what they're circling, how heavy they are, how rigid they are, how elastic they are, how inelastic they are. Okay, anyway. And a constantly inadequate view of nature and natural motion. So yes, and this is just so ironic, because, you know, obviously this idiotic, stupid kinetic energy formula is just such a stupid mistake. And so these arrogant douches, these giant douches, you know, are talking about the other shit sandwich, and it's just, if you're going to be so arrogant, you ought to be right. I mean, that's part of the obligation. If you're going to be arrogant, you got to really be sure you're right. A fundamental error was the belief that the forces required to maintain motion. A fundamental error was the belief that a force is required to maintain motion. That's exactly the truth, so it's just kind of funny. So they think that's a fundamental error. They still don't think force is something collects. So again, I put something in gravity. They really don't think the thing is collecting force from gravity. The gravity is actually hitting it with momentum. It's gaining the momentum as it's in the gravity. And the longer it's in the gravity, the more spray, the more rain it's collecting. It's collecting a real substance. This only weighs, whatever it is, 10 ounces. When I move it, okay, now it weighs 10.1, 10.2, 10.3. It starts increasing its weight. And it's increasing its weight. Okay, its mass is the same, 10 ounces. But its weight is increasing with its motion, okay? And its motion is the collection of force. Gravity is a real thing. There's a real differential between what's coming out of the Earth, where your feet are, and what's hitting you from the universe. That's the field, the stream you're in. And while you're in the stream, you're collecting its energy. It when the stream has to push a log, the stream, the water, loses energy to the log. It gives it log weight. There's no extra force. There's no extra anything. If the log is going to have momentum, it has to take it from the water. The water goes faster without the log in the stream. If the log is in the stream goes slower because it had to use its energy to give the log weight. Oh, damn, this is just so stupid. Okay, anyway, force of friction and its constantly inadequate view, okay, a nature of motion. A fundamental error was the belief that force is required to maintain motion. Of course it is, even at a constant velocity. Of course it is. You have to have the differential in your internal direction. See how else to say that. Yeah, there's just no other way to look at it. Now, you're never going to see it. Again, you can't see the force in the wrench if I throw it in space and it's moving. But you've got to understand there's some reason it keeps going. And it keeps going because it does have a differential built inside of it. Inside of it is a fact. That the initial motion went this way, and then it's circular, and then it starts going this way again. So it's just a procession of a circle, you can think of it as. But it has to exist. There has to be something that has imbalanced the wrench that's flying through space versus the wrench that's not flying through space. The two wrenches are physically different. All right. constant velocity. Most of the previous misunderstandings. So again, they're talking as if they understand, and they believe in a form. They believe in one half mv squared, which can't even pass a lever test. It can't pass the test you would apply 3,000 or 5,000 years ago. 5,000 years ago, they knew what a balance was, and they knew how to use a lever. And these morons saying somebody else misunderstands still don't understand that their theory means their levers produce free energy, which they can't do. About motion and force were eventually corrected by Galileo. So they're again mentioning somebody who they will slander. Okay, so Galileo, Descartes, and Newton all believed momentum, quantity of motion, as they called it, was energy. It was what the force was and did. The force is what you called the actor, the thing that was imposing the motion, because you couldn't see some of these forces, like sunlight and different things. You couldn't see them pushing, but they were in fact pushing. Okay, with his mathematical insights, Sir Isaac Newton formulated laws of motion that you violate routinely and don't pay any attention. So they believe in Newton's third law, which says basically you have to equal this out. Now, I would argue that Newton's third law is a little bit imprecise in the sense that you're really just saying things that explode in both directions equally. And if you're going to give away your force, that is, you have motion, the stream has motion, you're going to give it to the log, I don't need a counter force to make you go slower. You're going slower because you gave your stuff away. So if you give away $10, you're $10 poorer automatically. There's no counter force that takes your money away. Anyway, laws of motion that we're not... So, and again, the gun and the bullet demonstrate that their theory of reality, that is, the bullet has 2,000 joules of work-doing energy, that it can do 2,000 joules worth of work in the universe, and the gun can only do 2. And then they're going to say they believe in Newton's laws. No, they don't. That were not improved for nearly 300 years. Oh, and the improvement was all this Einsteinian crap for which you have no physical evidence defending at all. Okay. By the early 20th century, Einstein developed a theory of relativity that correctly predicted the action of forces on objects with increased momenta near the speed of light. So, he predicted that the photons are massless, which, in my opinion, is just retarded. They obviously have momentum, they obviously have mass. And also provided insight into the forces produced by gravitation and inertia. Insight to who? A pop culture that's got its head way up its ass and is full of wooey, phantasmagorical, singularity baby talk. All right, with modern insights into quantum mechanics, so this is probably useless, right? Yeah, gauge bosons, forget it. Forget it. Yeah, that's the whole... All that is just made-up crap. All right, the Standard Model's an incomprehensible pile of mush. You can't make an atom out of the Standard Model. It's impossible to draw what an atom is using the Standard Model. It's so bad. All right, so this is the lever one. This is how it got to force. So let's just understand that. It's pretty clear force is fundamentally momentum. I mean, they said it's in newtons. It's pretty obvious. It's pressure. It's weight. Okay. They never used the words in this description of a lever, like words like weight. Anyway, a lever is a simple machine consisting of a beam or rigid rod pivoted at a fixed hinge or fulcrum. Okay. All right. So that's not so bad, right? A lever is a rigid body capable of rotating on a point on itself. So why did they bother with this second definition, right? So they say a lever. So this is even like written so poorly. A lever is, and then they go, a lever is again. You already told me what a lever is. Why are you telling me what a lever is again? And then they say something that just doesn't mean anything, right? A lever is a rigid body capable of rotating on a point on itself. So all they should say is that levers can rotate partial or complete revolutions. All right. On the basis of the location of the fulcrum, load, and effort, the lever is divided into three types. Okay, so that part, who cares? Also, leverage is a mechanical advantage. So there you go. Those are the key words, right? Also, leverage is the mechanical advantage gained in a system. So this word, mechanical advantage, doesn't mean anything. There's no such thing as mechanical advantage, because it just depends on what you're trying to do. I mean, if you're trying to squish grapes, then you want big, heavy, broad things smushing the grapes. You don't want to use bullets. I mean, you don't want to sit there with a gun and try to squish the grapes with a gun. It's not going to be very effective. You're going to heat the grapes. You're going to cook the grapes. You're going to do lots of things to the grapes you don't want to do. All right, so you're going to get your energy in the wrong form. But there's no mechanical advantage. There's no idea of advantage besides some subjective purpose. It depends on what I want to do, whether it's an advantage or a disadvantage. Going fast, being heavy and going slow, or being light and going fast. Advantage just means which one is more useful for my purpose. Do I want to heat grapes or do I want to smush grapes? All right. Gained in a system. Okay, so there's no gaining of any advantage, and there's certainly no gaining of any force. It is one of the six simple machines identified by the Renaissance scientists. Who cares about which ones they identified? I wonder what the rest are. The spear, the arrow. A lever amplifies. So here's the word, amplifies. It doesn't amplify anything. It's just a silly lie. It can't amplify anything. It's conservational. It can't amplify force. It can't amplify energy. It can't amplify weight. It can't do any of those things. That's what it's showing you, basically, is that it's showing you things weigh the same. All right. A lever amplifies an input force. So you see the words right there, right? A lever amplifies an input force. How could you amplify the force that's creating energy? You can't amplify a force. Okay. To provide a greater output force. So you see these words, to provide a greater output force. It's clearly not a greater force. It's exactly the same force. It's exactly, you have to conserve the momentum. So they have a picture in here, right? You know, of a lever. Wrong one. All right, with a little 5 kilograms here and 100 kilograms over here, and this is 20 places over. There's no advantage here. There's no more force on this side than there is on this side. It's the same momentum. This will move 20 times faster than this will move. Period. It's the same force. It's the same momentum. So it's just, I mean, it's, what do you call this? I mean, it's not lying? You can type this kind of nonsense and not be called a liar? I mean, this is flat earth kind of style crap. I mean, they're all liars. I mean, they all know the earth isn't flat. They know the conspiracy they're implying that, no, we never land on the moon and we never put satellites in space and we never took any of these pictures and we don't have a National Weather Service and all of it's a fake. We know that's preposterous for somebody to believe that. Well, how do they believe this creation of force? A lever amplifies an input force to provide a greater output force. Not possible. That's free energy. Free force is free energy, which is said to provide leverage. The ratio of input force, so they're doing it again, to the... The ratio of output force to the input force is the mechanical advantage of the lever. So they're just restating the same sentence. They just changed the position of the words. But it's still just as nonsensical. Can't happen. You cannot increase the force. You cannot increase the energy. You cannot increase or decrease. All it can do is convert a mass, big mass, little velocity into big velocity, little mass. That's all it can do. As such, the lever is a mechanical advantage device. Let's see what that says. A simple machine that exhibits mechanical advantage is called a mechanical advantage device. Oh, well, that's good. That's nice and circular, that definition. Lever, a beam shown in static equilibrium around a fulcrum. This is due to the moment of... They're probably going to say something silly like inertia. Too pathetic. Okay. So who cares where the word came from? Not interesting. All right, so we'll do this part, the history. The earliest evidence of lever mechanism dates back to the ancient Near East circa 5000 BC, when it was first used in a simple balance scale. Well, that's the first evidence they have, but I'm sure somebody used a stick to wedge a rock long before that. I'm sure a frickin' chimpanzee has used a lever. The ancient Egyptian circa 44 BC, a foot pedal was used for the earliest horizontal frame loom. In Mesopotamia, circa 3000 BC, the shedef, a crane-like device used a lever mechanism, was invented. All right, well, this isn't too interesting. Okay, 3rd century, Archimedes. Okay, so this is the important one, right? Mathematician Archimedes. So this is like 300 BC, who famously stated, "Give me a lever long enough and a fulcrum on which to place it, and I shall move the world." So clearly it's a really useful device, but clearly also that fulcrum and that lever would have to be incredibly long, right? It would have to be insanely long, like, many light years long. But anyway, but the point is clear. It just does this conversion. Okay, force and levers. Let's hear this part. That would be funny. A lever is a beam connected to the ground by a hinge or pivot called a fulcrum. So they're doing the same thing. A lever is. I wonder how many times that's in this document. The ideal lever does not dissipate or store energy. So, I assume a use of the word energy on the entire page, right there. So you're like, what does that even mean in this context? What do you think is going up and down a lever? That's not energy? Which means there is no friction in the hinge or bending of the beam. So he says that's an ideal lever, though. That's not the actual one. So what's the point in saying that? In this case, the power onto the lever equals the power out. In this case, so now they're using the word power. So all of a sudden it changed from force to now they're saying this weird little power word. In this case, the power into the lever equals the power out. Well, yes, it equals the momentum. The momentum on one side of the lever will equal the momentum on the other side of the lever. And the ratio of output to input force. So there is no ratio of input to output force. So that's the whole, it's silly. It's the same force on both sides. It will be put into gravity. It's that simple. The energy is stored in gravity when you oscillate a balanced lever. All the storage goes into gravity. And it stores exactly the same amount of gravitational potential. It makes light objects go higher and heavy objects go lower. Anyway, if you allow an object to fly off a lever that weighs half as much and going twice as fast, well, it'll end up going four times higher. All right. Input force is given by the ratio of the distance from the fulcrum to the points of application of these forces. This is known as the law of the lever. So again, this is really simple. As you make the mass smaller, you make the distance from the fulcrum proportionally larger. So it's almost a nothing statement. I mean, it's so duh-worthy. And they call it the law of the lever when, it goes twice as fast. Half the mass, you put it on the lever where it goes twice as fast. And the point where it goes twice as fast just happens to be twice as far. So, not much to say there. The mechanical advantage of the lever can be determined by considering the balance of moments or torque. Can be determined by considering the balance of moments. What the fuck would that be? In physics, a moment is a mathematical expression involving the product of a distance. So now they're playing the distance game. and physical quantity. Moments are usually defined with respect to a fixed reference point and refer to physical quantities located some distance from the reference point. So, what a pile of word garbage. All right, our torque, T. So we know the torque is just a weight. About the fulcrum. If the distance traveled is greater, then the output force is lessened. So instead of talking about, strictly speaking, its velocity, they're talking about the distance traveled, which would be distance traveled in the same time, obviously. So no point going into this mush. So, obviously, a game being played. You cannot make force with the lever. And so they've dodged the whole subject by not using the word energy. Clearly, by the kinetic energy formula, the lever creates free energy. They can't admit that in this document, so they had to eliminate the word energy, they had to eliminate the word momentum, and evade the subject entirely. And play a game with force where they made force flexible. I can create force and I can destroy force. So they created a creatable and destroyable thing by calling it force and making it ambiguous. Where if they used energy or momentum, they'd know they're in big trouble. So they evaded the truth so they could write garbage. All right, that's probably enough. I'm having a bit of a allergy thing anyway. So, that's enough. So, till the next time and such. This has been another draftphysics.com video presentation. Trying to reason with people. Giving them the benefit of the doubt. Let's just say you're an honest person. Okay, I'm asking the honest question. Why are you believing science that's so stupid? I mean, it's so illogical. It can't make any sense. I conserved the momentum perfectly, and yet I made free energy. I made more energy. How can you think that's possible? I perfectly conserve the momentum. I have the same momentum in, same momentum out. And yet somehow, because I used heavy things hitting light things or light things hitting heavy things, somehow I can make as much free energy as I want or I can destroy as much energy as I want. How can you believe that? Just don't get it. Nope, don't get it. It's the truth. I don't get you. All right, anyway. So I'll not get you again tomorrow. Or whenever. The next day. Blah, blah, blah.